Folks, in this one verse, the one word which offers us the key to life. Know. And the key to the right use of power. That they might know you, Jesus' Father. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Apart from the Father, look what we do with our power. All of life and all of faith turns on this one word. No. K-N-O-W. No. If I want to be a doctor or a plumber, what I know is key to the practice of my vocation. Although what we know is important, who we know is the key to eternal life. Eternal life is to know God, the only true God revealed in Jesus Christ. People often clamor to know people in positions of power as a means of enhancing their own power. When I lived in Pittsburgh, there was one church in Pittsburgh that if you're rising up in corporate world, that's where you flock to be seen and to worship. Because the key was who you knew. It's often said of this world, it's not what you know, it's who you know that counts. And seemingly that used to be even true within the church. As unjust as that can be in the affairs of this world, it's the source of righteousness and justice in the kingdom of God. Knowing God is the door to eternal life, which leads to the transformation of our hearts through his Son, which leads to the practice of the right use of power to justice and righteousness. Power of the Holy Spirit, which always builds up. And even when God tears down, it's always for the purpose of ultimately building up. Always the power of the Holy Spirit. In our text, Peter tells us how this unfolds. He lists the spiritual disciplines we're to practice, like humility, trust, resisting the devil. And then he wrote, after you have suffered for a little while, and that's a statement from the Old Testament, a little while, because the suffering can really be a long time. What it actually means, for sure, after you've suffered, for sure, the God of all grace, listen to that, the God of all grace. This is where it depends. This is the foundation. The God of all grace. After you suffer for a little while, the God of all grace, now here it comes, who has called you, you and me, to his eternal glory in Christ. That's my call. That's our call. God's eternal glory in Christ. After a while, he will himself, God himself, will restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. In other words, God will accomplish his call in our lives if we are open to it. And he concludes then with this doxology. To him be the power to build up. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. To him be the power forever and ever. In the midst of our suffering, the God of all grace has called us to his eternal glory in Christ. But this call can only be answered in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul affirmed what Peter taught, having written, and all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit It comes from the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, not my power, not our power, but God's power to build up. And just a little later in the same letter, he wrote, "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,'" Genesis chapter 1, "who has shown in our hearts," your heart and my heart, "to give the light of the knowledge," knowing, "the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." A lot of words, but it simply means that Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, when I'm open to it, will be reflected in my heart to you, from your heart to me, from our hearts to the world. We are to be like Jesus, reflecting the glory of God as seen in the face of Jesus. That's to be my face, your face. And this word glory, it's used in the New Testament to speak about the nature of God, God's glory, his nature, as well as God's honor, his respect, his reputation. In our text this morning, it means both God's nature and God's glory. I am to reflect God's nature and God's glory, his reputation, his honor to the world. That's your job. That's my job. Our call. In the face of suffering, Peter puts this in the context of suffering. In the face of suffering, it is God's call that we reflect to the world God's honor as well as God's nature. Sadly, when I find myself in difficult circumstances, rather than reflecting the honor of God, I whine and complain. It's not possible for us to reveal God's nature. It's not possible for us to reveal God's honor in our flesh. It's not possible, folks. We can't do it, no matter how hard we try. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we seek God's kingdom above all else in the world. Yes, we seek God's presence above everything else. Yes, we practice spiritual disciplines as a way of opening our hearts to God's word and spirit. But the actual transformation of our hearts is the work of the Holy Spirit. And until that is done by the Spirit, there's this gap between me and Jesus. And Peter closes his counsel with these words, "To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." Power. The way I use it, it can lift up, but it can also destroy. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that our hearts are transformed and we are empowered to reveal God's nature, God's character, and God's honor, God's reputation to the world and our bodies. In other words, here it comes again. The messenger becomes the message. That's the call of the church. To be the message. The God of all grace has called us to his eternal glory in Christ. That's profound. That's astounding. It's amazing. And it's slow. It's a slow and sometimes difficult and sometimes painful process because it requires at times that I take a good look at myself. And that isn't always pleasant. I'm not the good person I like to think that I am. Or at least have you think that I am. Peter lists some of the spiritual practices we need to use to open ourselves to the transforming work of the Spirit: humility, trust, discipline, keeping alert, resisting the devil. All those things help. And the Holy Spirit uses these acts to open the eyes of our hearts so we can see the gap between Jesus and ourselves, between his nature and honor and ours. Sometimes that's a really huge gap. When this happens to me, I've told you this before, I feel like a thirsty man chained to a prison wall with a glass of cold water just at my fingertips. I see it. I can feel it. I'm thirsty for it, but I can't get it. I'll never get it in the flesh. It's not going to happen that way, folks. It only happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the power of God to break the chains that hold me back. It takes the power of God to close the gap between Jesus and me. It only happens when the Holy Spirit acts to restore my soul. Glory and power. The world is filled with glory and power. How do we use it? To build up or to tear down? The glory we seek and our use of power all comes down to what and who we know. That one word, know. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God. We are called by God to surrender the things of this world that we may know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And in knowing God, we will reveal his glory and power in our own lives. That is, we will reveal his nature and his honor to the world. Indeed, the messenger will become the message. That's the call of the gospel. To him be the power. To him be the glory. Forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.